Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Jim Burris today. Last year, before she was officially hired, I talked with Dr. Maria Kirstoffen about her vision for the district and her definition of a world-class superintendent.
I think a world-class superintendent puts students first. I believe that a world-class superintendent is always looking at resources, time, people, money to support students, schools, and teachers and staff on the front line. Talking and working with the community and building the kind of school system that is right for that community's context, what they're trying to do for the future of the city, what they're trying to do for the future of the state, and what they believe is right for the workforce for children in the out years.
That was Dr. Maria Kirstoffen in April of 2014. So how is the district progressing under her leadership, and what challenges still remain? Well, Dr. Maria Kirstoffen joins us live in our Closer Look studios. Dr. Kirstoffen, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to see you guys today.
I feel like I've seen you along the process here before you were officially hired, then you were hired, and everything's been going on. Let's step back here a little bit, because the first thing that you talked about in your early interviews before academic curriculum, you wanted to change the culture. You wanted to see a shift in the mindset of educators and everybody involved in the Atlanta Public Schools system. Have you seen a change in the culture or within the district?
You know, Rose, I am so encouraged about what I'm seeing. I'm a believer that in the well-used phrase that culture eats strategy for breakfast every day. And while we've done some really smart things, like, you know, revised our mission, our vision, we have a board-approved and community-sanctioned strategic plan, that all those things are great in writing, but it actually, for us, is about the people. We're an organization that is overwhelmingly people. And so for us, it's all about making sure that those people think about children first. It cannot be an adult-centered agenda. It's all about what happens to children based on the decisions we make.
So how did you go about doing that? It's not something that you can just sort of, you know, implement overnight. And also, what have you learned from that shift? So I'll let you answer the first one.
Yeah, so, you know, I've worked in different districts. I've been in the superintendency for about 10 years, and I've learned a lot about how you go about that very issue. And one of the things that I saw in Atlanta, because it's such it is a district that has had a multi-decade, multi-generational kind of breakdown of systems and structures that are supposed to support children. So I took a little more time than I typically do. I normally come out in the summer with the staff, but we waited an entire semester to kind of gather not only like evidence but anecdotal type behaviors to be able to bring the whole staff together at the beginning of the year with professional learning around the issue. And our observation has been, you know, pretty straightforward. It's very important that we talk about integrity, because we did lose our organizational integrity, or took a big hit on that, and that involved the cheating scandal and some other things. But we also have to talk about quality and the rigor with which we go about our work with children first and foremost in our minds.
You had a lot of principal vacancies, and I know that you wanted to be instrumental in making sure that you interviewed all of the new incoming principals. And what did you tell them about that philosophy you just talked about?
Yeah, so we had 22 vacancies, and two-thirds of them were at the high school level. And so you want your flagship leadership to be tip-top awesome and understand the purpose of what you're doing and what you're working on. And so the purpose piece and the mission piece, and we didn't have it yet. That wasn't approved by the board. So it was a lot of trying to see really if these are people who have the hearts and the minds and the experience to carry the vision and the mission, even though it hadn't been quite formulated yet. And so my takeaway was that while I wasn't the superintendent yet, and a lot of the process piece had already gone underway, that we did our best to look at the talent pool, to get to know them, to get to know what they were bringing to the table, so that we could get ready for big supports. And that is what we've done, in addition to trying to get the best people, but give them the supports they need to take on some of these tough schools that have had a lot of turnaround.
A note of disclosure, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education. Dr. Maria Kerstarfin is our guest in studio today, superintendent of APS. And in that intro that Rose played, it's been almost a year, you said three things that stuck out to me: resources, time, money. Do you have enough of all those three?
Well, I mean, I think we have a lot to kind of be blessed for in Atlanta. I've worked in other states and districts where we've had no money. I mean, virtually nothing to try to build on, to try to address achievement gaps, to try to tackle tough issues like equity. So I'm very appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of hearing what the governor talked about and his funding strategy for education. That's going to be hopefully another $10 million to $13 million for Atlanta Public Schools.
Out of a budget, for those who may not know, of what?
Of over like $700 million. So okay. for us, it's significant because we'll be able to do some of the things that that I think the board talked about very early on in the search process, and certainly since I've been superintendent. So we want to tackle things like eliminating the achievement gap before it starts. Let's do more around early childhood education. Let's ensure that we have bridge programs from elementary to middle and middle to high school. We did a lot of great work for our most vulnerable student populations, our special populations like English language learners and special education and gifted and talented. We want to be sure that we're not only doing remediation where we need it, and we know that we've had to because of the cheating scandal, but you also want to do enrichment, giving kids experiences and opportunities that make them feel hopeful and excited about the future. So the resources are great. Time, people, money. I think, you know, we never have enough time, but the people piece, the talent strategy. If there was one thing that I would love to be able to do is ensure that every child has a great teacher in front of them and a wonderful principal in the school who sets the tone and culture for what they're doing.
You mentioned the cheating scandal, and there are students right now within APS who were, some will call victims, or who were the casualties, others, other words that people have used, of the cheating scandal. Can you give us an update on where we are in the process for those students who are caught up in the cheating scandal, and have they received all the resources they need to catch up? Because sitting down in the courtroom and listening to testimony about sixth grade students who were reading on a third grade level.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very sad. And so, yes, when I started, or when I was, in the transition, I spent a lot of time with our accountability, more of the research office to the district. And we talked about what they did in the time frame after, especially in the 2011 year moving forward. And so I saw a lot of extra dosage support. They did have, I think they cast a pretty good net of how many students would have been affected, where are they, and what could they do to support them. We've gone back again and refreshed that data, found more students that weren't on the first list, but, you know, we could add it now. And we've done a lot. The board actually invested in what we call SSTs, student support teams. They do a lot around extra supports, but tutoring and making sure that we're doing things like analyzing every student's coursework. I mean, like their transcript, on top of taking it another step and looking at a special population like special education and every individualized education plan, and making sure that if we were supposed to be doing something and we weren't doing something, that we go back to Jim's comment about resources, redirect in real time, and make those resources available to them. So the SSTs, for example, were a $4 million investment, and that's direct services to students and even all students. I mean, we allowed other students to participate too, because even if you weren't involved in the cheating scandal, I don't think it's a secret that APS has not been able to serve all students well. So we've stretched it to allow for more students to get those supports.
Unfortunately, when we still talk about Atlanta Public Schools, we still hear the cheating scandal. Just today, the prosecution just rests its case in the cheating scandal against those former APS educators. Are you tired of hearing about the cheating scandal?
I'm never tired of hearing the truth. I think that it keeps you grounded. I think it keeps you, you know, very laser-like focused on your job. And of all the places I've ever worked, Atlanta has a way of reminding you of what you're supposed to be doing as it relates to education for all children in our public school system. So, you know, I don't want it to be our legacy. I don't want it to be the thing that when people think of Atlanta and they think about the educational opportunities here, that that's all they remember and know. This is such a great city, and it is a legacy city, and it deserves a high-performing school district where teachers love to teach and students love to learn and parents want to be engaged, and the community really trusts the system. So it is my hope that I do my part and that the people in this community will do their part to step up inside and outside of the district to ensure that they help me shift that culture from adult-centered to child center, and there's a lot that we could be doing to move every barrier, every obstacle, every distraction from this district to give us a fighting chance to make this right again.
How closely do you watch the day-to-day happenings of the trial?
I think that for me, it's the newspaper comes every day. I make sure I check in. I want to be sure that I understand what people might be saying between the lines. It gives me a couple of additional rabbit holes to go explore just to be sure that we checked on some things. But really, my focus is about the future. I want to make this mission come alive. And so that means that every student needs to be college and career ready. And doing that is going to be a lot of heavy lifting for Atlanta Public Schools. But like I said, I met with every single staff member. I invited our full-time staff to spend a professional learning day with me to talk about these issues. And I think for us, it was a watershed moment for everyone to kind of reset our commitment as the adults who will be on the front lines with our kids and families every day.
I want you to think back to maybe one of those meetings that sticks out in your head. Give us an anecdote of what you heard from that educator.
You know, a lot of them wrote me after the event, and they said things like, I was so despondent in my job. I felt like no one cared about our kids. I've been working here for 12 years and, you know, no one's ever cared about us as the adults so that we could care and do more for the kids. It was so humbling. It was clearly, it's a little emotional.
Sure.
Because they were in so much pain, and our families need so much help, and our kids deserve and I think are worthy of our investment. So, you know, it certainly made me more, if I wasn't committed before, if there was any like percentage of me that wasn't down for the cause, I am now.
You mentioned sort of the identity of the Atlanta Public Schools, and now there is sort of this growing sort of chatter about charter and whether or not charter schools are sort of the answer to everything. And being an educator, you've heard both sides of this. Dr. Maria Kirstoffen, should APS consider becoming an all-charter district?
Well, we actually made our decision. This is exciting stuff. I love this part of the operational model, you know, conversation and shift. We had a big meeting last night at Douglas. You know, over 100 people came. I think it was one of the best community engagement efforts we've made. So if this is a sign of how excited the community is getting about the opportunities, then I say, let's keep challenging the model and start, you know, thinking about what does it mean to have autonomy, flexibility, discretionary money, and more community and parent engagement. That's what we do in our model. And we also want to put a little finer point on making sure that our clusters are planning together so that those flagship high schools are really leading the charge and we're backward mapping our support from elementary all the way through.
Well, and that's been sort of the criticism in the past, too. All the schools are not created equal. And even in the clusters, you have the haves and the have-nots. We'll talk more with Dr. Maria Kirstoffen after this. She is the superintendent of the Atlanta Public Schools. We'll talk pensions, we'll talk graduation rate, and we'll talk Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed.
Our time now, 1:20. You're tuned to the Wednesday edition of A Closer Look here on 90.1. I'm Jim Burris, in for Dennis O'Hare and from the WABE Traffic Center. Watch out for problems due to construction, especially on the perimeter this afternoon in DeKalb County. That's I-285 southbound on the ramp to I-20 eastbound. Has the right lane blocked of the off-ramp. Also, a crash working right now, South 120 Loop in Cobb County westbound at Cobb Parkway. That also has the left lane block.
This report is a service of the Atlanta Botanical Garden, celebrating Valentine's in the Garden February 14th, offering desserts, cocktails, and orchids. Details at atlantabotanicalgarden.org. Support for WABE comes from Aurora Theater, presenting 4,000 Miles. A feisty 91-year-old grandmother and her 21-year-old grandson become unlikely roommates in this award-winning play, February 12th through March 1st. AuroraTheater.com.
It's 1:21. Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Jim Burris. Dr. Maria Karstarfin is our guest today on A Closer Look. She, of course, is the superintendent of the Atlanta Public Schools. Let's talk about graduation rates here for a second. Just today, the Schott Foundation released its report, and this report primarily deals with African-American males. Georgia still has one of the lowest ranks, is one of the lowest ranked states for black males, just coming in right at about 55%. White counterparts are 71%. Dr. Karstarfin, I know that you have said in the past that has got to change for Georgia.
Oh, absolutely, and certainly for the Atlanta Public Schools. I have such great respect for the Schott Foundation. When I was in graduate school at Harvard, I served as one of their consultants doing research in special students that are the most disenfranchised from the school process, and everything from the gender issues to, race and poverty. And so as I look at Atlanta Public Schools, I do think we have to acknowledge what it means to ensure that all of our students, but particularly students who've been left behind for such a long time, have their opportunity at life and after graduation. And so this conversation for us started with a very intensely debated conversation about equity. Like, how do we really do strategic decision-making so that we absolutely test ourselves every time about fixing past wrongs and setting things right for the future. And this is one of the past wrong areas that we've raised. So we've done some things this school year. I think we will have to do more to target the population and to be sure that we're putting that bridge work in for our students. But we did just solid, deliberate tracking of our process of every student who's now in the 9th to the 12th grade to be sure that they are on track to graduate with their cohort. And I said this a little bit before, but this is what we do. We perform transcript reviews. We look at where those students are. We sit down. We talk to them when we can. We talk to the family. And we explain to them how important it is that they are in certain courses. You have to take these courses. Where are you in your abilities and performance? And then we put in the supports to make that happen. And so, of course, this is our first year, and it's been very difficult. But APS has been making some movement in this area. But we know that for students who are at risk of not graduating, this credit recovery piece built on the information from the transcript analysis is just essential to catch them up.
And all that takes resources. Resources obviously mean funding. APS right now, like any other school district, relies heavily on all of its revenues, all of its partnerships. Let's talk about the partnership with the mm-hmm. City of Atlanta right now as we segue into that. We asked Mayor Reed about coming to some sort of agreement as it relates to the Beltline dispute. Dr. Karstarfin, how optimistic are you that you all can get this done?
Well, I'm always optimistic. I believe that that there's always a chance for a resolution to be found and made on any issue. For us, it's pretty straightforward. It's the concept that there are deeds for surplus properties that have been approved as recent as March 2013 under a longstanding city implemented process, and we just followed the process. We respected the process, and we worked in good faith with the city, our developers, and the community. So the fact is, at least from my perspective, that it's a simple win-win. It has nothing to do with the Beltline. I want our families to know that that I understand what they were saying to us in our community meetings when they would come and speak about these blighted, dangerous, unsafe properties and explain to us why they needed these things to be done. I would never play politics with the lives of children and our families. I've been in this for a while now. I think I have a standing reputation for not doing that, and that's not what we're doing here in this situation. I believe that I'm here to do my part. I'm determined to do my part to make these things right. It means I need the systemic pieces of what has been broken for so long, many of them part of this old break apart between the city and the district from decades ago. And I'm not blaming or judging or anyone. I'm just saying, much like Errol Davis did, that these things have to be fixed if we really want Atlanta Public Schools to be fixed. So I think I was hired to do that, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Mayor Kasim Reed was our guest here on A Closer Look earlier this week, and I want to play something, that an excerpt from that interview that he said about you specifically.
You know, there was a short list for the selection of a new superintendent that didn't include Maria Christophin. So it was at my urging and the urging of others that they be more aggressive about going and recruiting a higher quality of leader. So I had a good bit to do with the current superintendent who's here. And then when she got here, it was me that turned to the corporate community and asked for them to help and raise money so she could have a smooth transition.
Et tu, Brute, is what it sounds like the mayor is saying, almost that he's disappointed in the way that this relationship has played out since your coming to Atlanta. What's your response to those comments that Mayor Reed just said?
They seem, you know, factual to me. I'm not reading into it. I just listened to what he said. I was so pleased about the search process. It was great. There was a wonderful selection committee. I thought they worked really hard. I think that this community kind of gave them the blessing to go and do a search in peace. I've done these searches before. The media was so respectful. I think everybody did their part to try to find the right match for what Atlanta needed. I just yesterday or a couple of days ago, I gave a speech to the Rotary and thanked the Atlanta, the ACP, the Atlanta Partnership, for their support of the transition, and I wouldn't have my team, you know, without them helping us get the recruiting effort underway. So I'm incredibly grateful. I, you know, thank everyone for doing that, but that, you know, for me, it doesn't change the fact that I have to run a large organization. When you put SPLOST in, it's a $1 billion responsibility. And I have to manage the district. And for us, it means that there will be some tough, longstanding issues. It's not about, you know, the city versus the district personally. It's just about what has happened over time that we need to fix. I'd like to get those obstacles out of the way.
And there are a lot of obstacles from both sides, which have admitted that, but there is some public tension here. When we come back, we'll finish up with Dr. Maria Christophin, the Atlanta Public Schools Superintendent.